you chewed on a piece of meat and it was tough. Too tough to swallow. For some people, the teachings of Christ are tough. Too tough to swallow. And so they do with his teachings like they would a piece of meat. They spit it out and will never try it again. They have a hard time with his teachings. It throws them off. And so you never see them again. That very thing happened directly to Jesus. People had a chance to see him, to hear him, to ask questions of him, to spend time with him. Nevertheless, they just did not like what he said. And so they'd much rather go home. You have taught people, perhaps your own children, and to you, the teachings of Christ were delightful or are delightful and logical. And you could not understand why the people you taught could not see the same thing. And so, knowing those good things about the teachings of Christ, and yet someone rejected them, spit them out, so to speak, you wondered if you failed. But you did not fail. You did the best you could. And they just did not like the food. And it has nothing to do with your serving of that food. Instead, I believe you are like Peter, whom we will read about tonight in our text. And hopefully no one here is like Judas, to whom Jesus alluded. Here's how the section begins. Of course, you'll notice we're in John 6, chapter 6. We'll begin at verse 60. This is a long chapter, so it's taken me four sermons to get through it. Remember what had happened. Large crowds were following Jesus because of the miraculous signs he performed. On one occasion, he fed 5,000 men miraculously, and then he left. The next day, they come looking for him again because they want more free food. And he points that out to them. And then he starts talking about the fact that he is the bread of God that has come down from heaven, and that if they expect to live eternally, they have to eat his flesh and drink his blood. And they didn't like that teaching. It didn't even occur to them that he might be speaking metaphorically. They thought he meant literally. So, that's where we pick up now, starting at verse 60 of John 6. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can understand it?" When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, "Does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. For a man to say they had to eat his flesh and to drink his blood, they found offensive." We cannot handle that kind of teaching. That meat was too tough for them. So they wanted to spit it out. "It was a hard saying," they said, "that they could not understand." And that's what many people do. "I don't understand what Jesus means here." Or, "I don't understand what the Scriptures are teaching. I have a hard time accepting that." And so they will do one of two things. Either they will change the teaching to suit their taste, or they will abandon it and God. In this case, they did the latter. We're going to see them turning away from Jesus. Now, how have you reacted to the hard sayings of Jesus? Do you try to figure them out? Or do you criticize God? If you accept His teachings, then what's happening is the Father is drawing you to Jesus Christ. Keep going. Don't stop. Jesus had or made many hard sayings that people could not or would not understand. Could not, that is in the mind, in the sense that they couldn't figure them out. And I suppose we may not be able to figure out His teachings for one of two reasons. Number one, someone just doesn't have the intellectual ability, or they have the ability, they just don't have the tools yet. You give them the tools and they'll figure it out. Some would not understand His teachings. In other words, it was a matter of the heart. They either disagreed with what He said or they just didn't like it. Oh, they have the ability to figure it out. And indeed, they probably have figured it out. What they saw, they didn't like. It's like someone said that Mark Twain said that, you know, he says a lot of people have a hard time with the things of the Bible they don't understand. He said, I have a hard time with the things of the Bible I do understand. And so he often spoke against Christianity because of that. But here we are tonight on a Sunday evening. Most of us here are experiencing Christianity. We're here on a second time on Sunday because our Christianity really means something to us and we get into the Scriptures often. And we probably do not realize how many hard sayings of Jesus there are. I want you to do this for a moment. Step out of yourself, step out of your experience, step out of what you know about the Bible, and look at one passage I'm going to give you, one chapter, with the mind of the world. You're not a dedicated follower of Jesus Christ. You don't have the thinking yet that, you know what, whatever He says, I'll accept it. You don't think that way yet. Consider just the first third of one of His sermons, the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount is found in Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. I just want to give you a few references from chapter 5. Now, if you can think as the world does, you'll see why a lot of people don't like Jesus. And we find that hard to accept. I've had people tell me in home Bible studies, I do not like Jesus. He's narrow-minded. Here's why they say that. This is just one chapter out of the four Gospels. In Matthew 5 there, Jesus begins with the Beatitudes. And if you look at each one carefully, every single one goes against the thinking of the world. The very first words He said, blessed are the poor. He didn't have to say anything else right there. Blessed are the poor. Poor aren't blessed. I want to be rich. Don't talk to me about the blessings of being poor. Although He said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. People don't hear that part. Blessed are the meek? No. You know, blessed are they that mourn, blessed are the peacemakers, blessed are those who have been persecuted, all those things there. Then you drop down to verse 20. Here's how narrow-minded Jesus was. Now, you don't think of Him as being narrow-minded, but the world does. He said, no one's going to heaven. With the exception of one group, those who exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees. Staying in that same chapter again, verse 21. He says, if you're angry with your brother, you're in danger of the judgment. If you don't repent of being angry with your brother, He says, you could lose your soul. Verse 27 and following. He said, I suppose speaking to the men in particular, you know, if you lust after a woman in your heart, you've committed adultery with her. Verse 31, whoever divorces his spouse causes him or her to commit adultery. 33 and following, he said, don't swear an oath, but mean what you say and say what you mean. 38 and following, someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to him the other also. Someone sues you, give them what they want and more. Someone compels you to go 1 mile, go with them two. And then the one that really tops it off, starting in verse 43, love your enemy. Pray for those who use you. You know, bless those who curse you. I mean, how do you react to that stuff? Do you have a problem with any of those teachings? Do you fail to obey those teachings, although you know what they are or what they say? Do you try to explain any of them away? Do you try and find a reason why it doesn't apply to you or into your situation? On the other hand, if none of those things offended you, it's probably because of one of two reasons, my guess. Number one, because you're just used to hearing them. You hear it all the time. You're used to it. Or number two, you sincerely believe and practice them, and God bless you. But realize not everyone is on your level. Now, back to John chapter 6. John told us that Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about his teaching. He knew what they were thinking. He knew how they responded to his preaching. You see, Jesus teaches us, and then he doesn't abandon us. He doesn't ignore us. But he is concerned or cares very much for how we respond to his preaching. Because he's not preaching or teaching to impress people. He's not trying to show people what a great orator he is. He was trying to touch people and change their lives so they could be saved and live with him forever. So he's very concerned with how you and I respond to his teachings. And so he asked them whether they were offended, whether this teaching was scandalous to them. Now, look at the approach the Son of God took in verse 62. Paraphrasing, if you're offended because I spoke of you eating my flesh and drinking my blood, what then if you should see me ascend to where I was before? If you're offended by the lesser truth, how much greater will you be offended by the greater truth? They thought he was just the son of Joseph and Mary. That's stated back in verse 42. But he was the Son of God, and so in time, he would go back to where he came from. So what would you think of that? They complained when he just said, he was the bread of God that had come down from heaven, verses 41 and 42. Because they knew his family, and in their minds there was just no way he could be the Son of God. They complained again when he just spoke of them eating his flesh and drinking his blood. So if they found him offensive by the high claims which he spoke, what would happen when they would actually see him ascend into heaven? Doing is greater than saying. If you're offended by the saying, you'll be offended by the doing. So in other words, the occasions for them to be offended were increasing. Then, in my estimation, he spoke some of the most important words in the gospel according to John. If you can get what he said next, then you can probably get everything else that he says in the gospel according to John. And if you can't get what he says here, you'll probably have a problem with the rest of the book. Moreover, what he said next revealed to them plainly that he was speaking figuratively. However, they were locked into earthly thinking and they just didn't hear his plain speech. He said these two things in verse 63. First, he said the Spirit gives life, whereas the flesh profits nothing. The Spirit gives you life, the flesh does not. And so if he's really the Son of God, he's not going to give them that which is profitless. He's going to give them that which is profitable, not only for this life, but for eternity. And second, he said he spoke that his words were words of life. If he spoke the words of the Spirit, and the Spirit gives life, then his words are life. Hear him, believe his word, and you live because of his word. It's just that simple. Look at verse 63, so plain. It is the Spirit who gives life, the flesh profits nothing. And then he says, the words that I speak to you are Spirit. I'm not speaking about you literally eating my flesh and drinking my blood. These are figures of speech that I'm using. But they couldn't get past what he had said earlier. Okay, so 64 and 65, he continued. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. And he said, therefore, I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father. As he spoke these words to them, even explaining their metaphorical nature and that he was not speaking literally, he says, or John said, they still didn't believe. Because rather than giving them free food, he was talking. That's not what they wanted. Remember verse 26? Don't talk to us this pie in the sky stuff, these difficult things to understand. Give us the free food. Come on. Let's keep it up. We've seen what you're able to do. We initially followed you because of the signs. Now you're giving us free food. That's what we're here for. Not for these odd teachings. It's funny how people are when they start giving free things or receiving free things. I heard of a man who was annoyed because some schoolboys, when they got off of school, came down his alley and they had sticks. And they were banging them on the metal trash can lids as they went down. Man, that irritated him. What do I do about this? So he said, this is what I'll do. I'll give them money for what they're doing. And he did that. He says, you know, he stopped them when he says, I really enjoyed that. Here's a dollar for each of you. They come back the next day. Bang, 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 bang. And he gave them 75 cents each. Told me he enjoyed it. The third day, same thing again, banging on those cans. He gave them 50 cents. And the next day, 25 cents. They said, we're not doing this for 25 cents, and they quit doing it. Well, he accomplished his purpose. He knew what to do. But, you know, it was free money. This is not worth 25 cents. It's worth a buck. If I gave you all $10 over here, you'd probably be happy. Here's 10 bucks. And then I come over here and give you all $20, what are they going to think? How come we didn't get 20? What's wrong with us? Why, or what's wrong with him, actually? Recently, two women came into my office. One had a very troubling experience. And as I listened to her, I thought, you know, I've got a book that I think will help her. Pulled it off my shelf, didn't order another copy, pulled it off my shelf and said, here, you need to read this. I think this will really help you. The other woman with her said, how's that going to help her find a place to live? And we gave them some money and haven't seen them since. interesting how the human mind works. In this case, sometimes people don't even want the free food. Like the lady who called me last week from one of the motels here. And said, gave me a story about all her surgery and all this and that and this and that, and then said that she wanted money to stay another night. And I said, we can just help you with food. Well, you're good for nothing. Click. She called up 5 minutes later, forgetting that she had just called me. And evidently she was going through the Yellow Pages and started giving her story again. And I listened. I said, well, earlier you said we were good for nothing. Oh, I'm sorry. Click. And that was it. So in this case, they didn't even want free food. Forget the signs. Forget the free food. Give me the free money. No, not a loan. Certainly not with interest. I don't even want to apply for it. Just give it. Give me something now that I want for the body, not for the spirit later. The words of Jesus are not hard to understand. However, if we have preconceived ideas or our minds are locked into earthly thinking, then we will balk at His words. He will seem odd, and what He teaches in the Bible will just seem out of touch. You can't love your enemies. They'll take advantage of you if you do that. This is what we'll think. And yet, no one is more normal than Jesus. And no one was more in touch with life than the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, after He spoke bluntly to the people of their unbelief, John added that Jesus knew from the start two things. Number one, he said, He knew who would not believe. And number two, He knew who would betray Him. Even so, this is the thing that amazes me about Jesus. Knowing that a good portion of them would not believe, and knowing that one of them would actually betray Him, He still approached the people. He still came here. He still spent time with people. He still taught and taught and taught, giving them the opportunity to believe and giving the betrayer time to change his mind. Now, to back up His words that some of them did not know, or that He knew some of them would not believe, in verse 65, He reminded them of what He had said earlier in the conversation. And He's referring back to three verses. Verse 37. Verse 65 refers back to verse 37, where Jesus said, "All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out." And then they also refer to verses 44 and 45. "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me." So now in 65 he says, I just said that to you. If you do not believe, you are disqualified, and the Father will keep you from going to Jesus. Through belief, we can begin to go to the Son of God. Learn from the Father who Jesus is, and then you can go to Him. If you learn from Him, then you can believe in Him. And if you believe in Him, you can have life. But if you don't have life, then it's everlasting punishment. All right, now let's look at this last section here, verses 66 through 71. And He said, "Therefore I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father." From that time, many of His disciples went back and walked with Him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, 5,000 went away, leaving 12. What would you think of a preacher? If you had a preacher here in Grants Pass who attracted 5,000 men, and then in one sermon, he turns all of them away except for 12. Time to fire that guy. Well, we wouldn't want to do that because he's speaking the truth, at least in this case. Verse 67, then He said to the 12, "Do you also want to go away?" But Simon Peter answered Him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, Did I not choose you, the 12, and one of you is a devil? He spoke of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for it was he who would betray him, being one of the 12. Those who sought him because of the signs that they saw, verse 2, these same people who sought him because of the free food he gave them, verse 26, did not like what he taught. So they just went back home and would walk with him no more. And with the devastation of watching 5,000 men walk away, he turned to the few who were left and asked if they wanted to go. The magnificent Peter, in my judgment, gave the best answer that man or angel could have given that day. You know, Lord, there's no one else for us to go to. You have the words of eternal life. We have come to this conclusion, Lord. You know, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Obviously, Peter is speaking on behalf of all those apostles. And when he says, we have come to believe, that he lets us in on something there. Have you ever wondered, as Jesus was teaching the people these great sermons or performing miracles, touching people and healing them, what were the disciples doing when all this is going on? They're watching it just, wow, can you believe what he just taught? Have you ever heard anything like that before? Did you see what he did? And they would, evidently, when Jesus was away, they would talk among themselves about his teachings and his works, and they would say, there's only one person he could be. He's the Messiah of the Old Testament. He is the Son of God. And it's almost as though Peter just thought, when am I going to get this opportunity to make this confession to him? And man, he took it when the Lord basically asked for something from them. And loving what Jesus heard, yet he knew there was one who wanted to go away. But more than go away, he wanted to make money off the Lord. All those other people went away and they've got nothing. But one could go away and he could take some money with him. And that's what he wanted to do. And so Jesus boldly confessed that he had chosen the 12, yet one of them was a devil. One of these men had actually taken on the thinking of Satan himself. And John let us know which one Jesus spoke about. It was Judas Iscariot. Judas would betray Jesus, although Judas was one of the 12. Do you understand what a privileged position Judas had and then gave up? I used to think to myself that if Judas had never betrayed Jesus, there could have been a book in the New Testament called Judas. You know, in sermons, we could be saying, you know, over in Judas chapter 5, verse 12, the apostle Judas said such and such. But then, when I did my sermons on Revelation about a year ago, I saw two things in there that told me just what a high and honored position the apostles have. Remember, the Bible shows us there in Revelation that those 12 apostles sit on 12 thrones, just right around the throne of God. And also in Revelation 21, the Bible tells us that the foundations of the holy city up there in heaven has the names of the apostles written on it. You can see the name of Matthew. You can see the name of John. You can see the name of Peter and the name of Matthias. Well, who's Matthias? Who's Matthias sitting on a throne right next to the throne of God? Well, it's the man who replaced Judas. Oh, Judas. It just breaks my heart. Although I know the story, and you know, here I am preaching through John, and I know it's going to happen. Every time I just think, come on, Judas, repent. Don't do it. What's the matter with you, man? Don't you know what you're giving up? Now, from John chapter 6, to John chapter 13, you need to remember this. In all the gatherings that we see of Jesus, and his apostles are with him, whatever he says to those apostles, whatever he does, such as washing their feet, whatever passion or compassion he shows to them, Judas is in that number. And there is never once a hint of evil coming from Jesus toward Judas. Although Jesus knew what that man was going to do to him, he never once let any hint of evil come from his tongue or his hands toward that man. Wow. I don't know what to say about the Lord. How could he do that? So what do you think about the teachings of Jesus thus far? Are you able to stomach them? Have you found them to be a delight? I want to encourage you to do whatever you can to make Jesus and his teachings the true food of your life. Embrace him and do not reject him. Do not walk away from him, but if necessary, walk away from everything else to save your relationship with him. That's how important it is. Can we help you tonight with a prayer? If so, please don't delay. Use the opportunity tonight. You've got many people here tonight who would just love to pray for you or do something else to help you in your Christian walk. Come now as we stand and sing.